Our scripture lesson this morning is from the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the first 12 verses. You can find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 1, or follow along on the screen. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray. Lord, open us up. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Open our hearts to feel. And then, O God, open our hands to serve. In Christ's name, amen. What do we mean when we say that Jesus is the light of the world? What do we mean when we say that Jesus is the light of the world? On Christmas Eve, at the very end of each service, we turn off all the lights. And then we take the light from the Christ candle and we hold it up as we read John 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It seems to me that what we are doing in that moment is saying, look, there is darkness. There is darkness. There is fear, and there is violence, and there is hatred, and there is greed, and there is evil in our world. And we have thought that the darkness might win the day. We've been covered in darkness and unable to see and unable to feel and unable to do anything until now. Until now, because now there is this light that has come into the world. This light is Jesus the Christ. When we say that Jesus is the light of the world, what we are saying is that because of his birth, the things of darkness no longer rule. It is a new day, a new era. The light has come. Yes, Jesus' birth is like the glow of light that starts to rise above the horizon. It's pitch black until the light spreads over the land and the sky. The light breaks through the darkness. The light is the only thing that can break through the dark that covers the world. It was a dark time in the days of the prophet Isaiah. The people of Israel were in exile. And so they were living in this foreign land and under rule that discriminated against them and marginalized them. And it was so bad. They were so hurt and hopeless. They started to wonder if there was a God after all. You know, like all this darkness was just too much. Maybe there is no God. And so God sends Isaiah to speak a word of hope to the people. And Isaiah shares this vision with them. He says this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. A light that rises and shines through the darkness, kings who come from afar to see the light. Do you see where we're going here? Do you see where we're going here? The story of the Magi is written as a fulfillment of this prophecy. The birth of Christ is the light that has come into the world, and not just for the people of Israel, but for the whole world. And the three kings represent that. They represent that. They are foreigners from a foreign land, and they see the light and receive the light and pay homage to the light too. So this light that has come into the world, this light that has cut through the darkness, is for everyone. It's for everyone. This new day, this new dawn that marks the beginning of the end for the dark things of this world is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. So I just want to pause and say this very simply to you on this first Sunday of the new year. This light that has come into the world is for you. It is for you. Whatever you need saving from, whatever darkness you have been covered in, maybe you are covered in guilt or shame, or you're covered in memories that haunt you, or you're covered in heartbreak or depression, whatever it is, this darkness has a weight to it, doesn't it? I mean, and you can't move, you're stuck in the dark. Maybe you've been stuck in the darkness of an addiction, or stuck in doubt, or stuck in a diagnosis, or stuck in debt, or stuck in your own mind, your fears, and your self-focus. The darkness is all around you, and you cannot move. You cannot move forward. Yes, you who are in the dark, who know the dark, who are almost just so used to it that you just think it is what it is, you think it's never going to change, I'm so glad that you're here today, because this message is for you, and here it is. Your light has come. Your light has come. Your light has come. This bright, glowing star has crossed the horizon. The light has come into the world so that the dark is no longer dark. Thanks to the light, we can see which way to go now. We don't have to be stuck in darkness. You do not have to be stuck in darkness unless, of course, you want to. More times than I can count, someone has come to me and said something like, "Pastor, I don't know if I believe anymore. You know, I have some major doubts. I don't know that I have faith anymore." And I listen very sincerely, and eventually I break the news to them that they are not the first person to have doubts. I tell them about my own dark night of the soul. That's a term that has been around for ages and ages to describe the experience of feeling totally alone, without connection to the divine. It's the experience of feeling isolation and loneliness. And I tell them how all the mystics and spiritual leaders and every single saint has gone through a dark night of the soul at least once. How it's considered to be a part of the journey towards a deeper, more authentic faith. That's been my personal experience. And I tell them how Mother Teresa, her dark night of the soul lasted for 50 years. 50 years. 50 years. She seriously doubted the existence of God. 50 years in the dark. Mother Teresa. I know, right? And yet she kept bathing lepers. And she kept praying. She kept journaling. She kept reading the scriptures. She was in the dark, but she didn't stay stuck in the darkness. She kept trusting that the light was there, and she kept heading in the direction of the light. The story of the Magi is not just that they saw the star at its rising and decided to go in the direction of the light. That's part of the story, but that's not the whole story. No, the part that we miss, that scholars are quick to point out, is that the Greek text does not say that the star was like an early Google Maps device, which we sometimes picture it as. it was not always right before them pointing the way. Now, it is supposed that the Magi spent a good part of their travels going in the direction of the star without actually seeing it. That's why when they saw the star in Bethlehem, the text says they were overwhelmed with joy. They were overwhelmed with joy. This is the kind of joy that's so deep and heartfelt, filled with gratitude and awe and wonder. They saw the star and they rejoiced because in that moment it was confirmed that it was true. Because what they knew to be true in their hearts, what they had trusted all along, every step of that long journey was confirmed. They knew they were in the light and headed in the direction of the light, even if they couldn't see it clearly. Mother Teresa wrote many profound and insightful spiritual truths during her dark night. She said that she should be the saint of darkness because she can help people who are in the dark. So she wrote this about darkness and light. She said, "To love is to know we are not immersed in darkness, but in light. The light has come into the darkness, into your darkness, and you are no longer immersed in darkness. You are immersed in light. Yes, there is darkness still, but you are immersed in light. And because of that, because your light has come, it is possible for you to do loving things. To love is to know we are not immersed in darkness, but in light." This is the kind of knowing that is deep in your bones. It is intuitive. It's gut-level knowing. You know in the innermost parts of your being that you are immersed in light. It's like when you see someone being kind or generous, helping another person. When you see love enacted, it's like this reflex that happens in your soul. You know it's right. You know it's good. The light in you recognizes the light in others. And in the world, and when love is shared, and you see it, and you know that's the way things are supposed to be, that's what you were made to do. You were made to love too. Now, you may not feel it. You may not feel it. You may not feel loving, but don't let that stop you from loving. As my favorite author, Anne Lamott, puts it, you want to have loving feelings? Do loving things. You want to have loving feelings, do loving things. You love not because you feel it, but because you know that you are immersed in the light. You know love is what you were made to do. And so you keep heading in the direction of the light. You keep moving towards mercy and moving towards compassion and gentleness and self-control, and you keep moving towards patience and peace. So do it. Do loving things. You do not need to know how to solve all the world's problems. You don't need to have all your ducks in a row. You don't need to know what you're doing, but you need to know what you're doing right now, and it is do loving things. It doesn't have to be big. Just take a step in the direction of the light. Turn off the water when you're brushing your teeth. And turn off lights when you leave rooms. Pick up some litter, even though you know that there will be more tomorrow. Smile at the old man waiting in line behind you at the checkout line and ask him how he's doing. Take flowers to your neighbor who's been sick. Help the vulnerable. Be kind to yourself. Practice self-compassion. Ask for help. Go to counseling. Do something to make the world just a little kinder and a little better. The faith of the Magi is the faith of those of us who know the light and rejoice in it, because we have sat in the darkness. It's the faith of those who choose to keep heading in the direction of the light every day, one step at a time. Those who do the daily, gritty work of loving the earth and loving others as themselves. It's the faith of those who choose hope over cynicism. Cynicism is so easy. I mean, the Magi could have said, you know, I bet this journey isn't worth it. You know, we don't know for sure that the star we saw means anything. You know, it's pretty dark right now. Let's just turn back home and stay in our routines and our comfort zones. Yeah, cynicism is easy because it's pretty clear how things will go. Nowhere new, nothing different. No, that is not for us. That is not for us. Not this year, because your light has come. Your light has come. Your light has come. The conscious choice that we make today, that we get to make today, this moment, is to follow the light and let it lead us to do loving things so that we might know what it is to truly live. So may it ever be. Amen.